Welcome back to Perfect Takes. I'm your host, Stephen Patton, joined as always by my co-host and dear friend, Jacob Acquire. And we have a lot to celebrate after starting 0-2, got to witness the home opener for the Carolina Panthers against the division rival Atlanta Falcons, the only team Bryce Young has a winning record against in the entire NFL. So that pretty cool statistic. We own them, and more specifically, Bryce owns Atlanta. Jacob, you're a guy who's very superstitious, and I was gifted a free ticket to the Panthers home game. And obviously we play on the road this week, but I think in future home games, because you are super superstitious and you don't change things up if we've won, I think you got to buy me a ticket for the next home game.
I didn't buy this one though. So whoever got you the ticket has to complete the
bill.
Yeah.
There we go.
What I will say is because I drove down from Boone that morning, and this was my exact, you know, Boone's a little bit colder, right? And it was around 50 when I left, because I left in the morning. My exact outfit: black beanie, blue shirt, black pants, black socks. Do you know what the Panthers fit was? It's the black helmet, blue shirt, black pants, black socks. I'm just saying, I was a part of the team that day, and you know, maybe I gave him some morale. But if I could define how that game went in three words, or if you could define how it went in three words, how would you put it? Just three words.
Three words? Like, does it have to be like a cohesive statement, or just like three adjectives?
Yes, whatever you want, just three words.
Okay, I'll do an expression. Belt to ass.
Belt to ass. They didn't stand a chance. So on that first drive, their scripted drive, if we want to call it that, they were moving the ball pretty well, but then they stalled out. The new kicker missed a field goal. White, like, really bad miss from the TV copy. I don't know how it looked in person, but it was bad. And then the Panthers drive down and score. They miss another field goal, which they got off a muffed punt. Then some stalling out on offense. The point is, we won 30-0. We got three turnovers. I don't have many negatives to say in this game. Obviously the muff punt, that has to be fixed, because against an actual competent team with a good quarterback, they're going to take advantage of that. That has to be fixed. I think the play calling was also a bit conservative. There were also a couple drops, but at this point, and Bryce deals with drops every single game, like, you're just going to deal with that. But other than that, I think we played a very, very sound game. The offensive line stepped up a huge amount. You got to remember, this was the number one pressure getting defense coming into this week. And I think they had four or five pressures, only one sack in the entire day. Cade Mays is so much better than Austin Corbett at getting the play going a lot faster. We limited their quote unquote high powered offense. Michael Penix got benched because of it. And I said on Twitter, they should give Kirk Cousins another chance. And they did. They brought him in for the final quarter. And while we were playing prevent defense, they didn't score. They tried to score. Raheem Morris called a timeout to try to get a field goal in there to avoid the embarrassment. And what happens other than karma? They fumble at the very next play. The Atlanta Falcons never crossed the Panthers, or never even got to the Panthers' 30-yard line. That's the kind of dominant performance we saw on Sunday.
Michael Penix could not throw across the middle of the field to save his life. They tried a couple of plays early on, had guys coming open. He just couldn't hit them accurately. And Penix made a statement this week in regards to that, where he needs to hit his open wide receivers when they're coming open. But he's always struggled to be accurate, dating back to college, to even the pros. And I think it's just because he doesn't have the ability to, like, kind of dial in the velocity at which he's throwing at. And so it works when you throw to the sidelines, when you throw to the flats at that velocity. And that's where he was finding success. But then Evero was able to key in on that. And even though we are a team that enjoys playing more cover one, cover three looks and blending kind of that dimension on the back end, we leaned into some cover two, and that's where we were able to have some opportunistic opportunities pop into the hands of some of our guys in the secondary. And so I think if Evero moving forward can really tailor a game plan to take away what the quarterback does best and force the quarterback to do something that they're not good at, then we're going to have a good at least a fighting chance to stay in a game. And I think when we talk about the Patriots and a few of the other opponents coming up, we're going to get into, okay, so like, what can we do to take away what they do well, to make life harder for them so that Bryce Young can do his thing on offense and we have an opportunity in the fourth quarter.
That's like the perfect point. I think Evero called probably his best game as the Panthers defensive coordinator. We didn't get any sacks, but we got a lot of pressure with Nick Skorton starting in place of Pat Jones. They used him inside a lot, kind of like a NASCAR package on pass rushing downs, and he was pretty effective. Forced Penix to throw to the flat, when there were guys open. It's not just that he couldn't get the ball to them, because there were a lot of those instances where he just sprayed or airmailed or ran it off the turf, but there were a lot of plays in which he just didn't see the players coming open. And I know a lot of Falcons fans on Twitter are blaming the offensive coordinator. They had guys open all day. Like, I have concerns as we go into next week when we're talking about the Patriots, but they had players open. Penix just couldn't see them or didn't trust his arm, which people laud as one of the best, to get the ball to him. He was seeing ghosts all day. Like, on the bench, he looked very shaken after they benched him. And ultimately, he was the reason for this loss. I mean, you can say the kicker miss put him behind the chain at the start, but Penix had the opportunity, and every single time he just couldn't deliver. Other than the interceptions, because the pick six was really, really bad, there's one play in my mind that sticks out, and I believe it's in the third quarter when they're driving down the field. It's a second down, and he checks it down to the tight end, who has Trevon Wallace maybe a foot from him. And, like, he's sitting there covering it. Wallace looked surprised that the tight end got the ball, and he tackled him for, like, a 10-yard loss on a second down, and that took them out of another field goal opportunity. I don't know. This was just a very, very bad day for Penix. And for the Falcons going forward, if he plays like this again, because you got to remember the game before that where they, quote, dominated the Vikings, they didn't score a touchdown. They had 5 field goals. That was it against the Vikings. So if the Falcons want to be able to contend, I think they need to give Kirk Cousins another chance. But for the Panthers, like, there's hardly, or you can't help but celebrate this one because it feels really good. I think this was their largest margin of victory since the 2015 season, where we beat the Falcons 38-0. So I love beating the Falcons. Shutting them out was even better. And I think it's a good prelude into next week. Like, we found stuff that works, but we got to improve some things as well.
Absolutely. The last point about the Falcons I'll say is I'm scared about the game in Atlanta. When you take belt to ass the way we did on Sunday, the other team doesn't take too kindly to that. That's what we saw in 2015. We go and play in Atlanta a few weeks after that, and they beat us. That was the only loss we took in the regular season. So I will say, be aware of that. Before we get in the next week, do you want to talk about Ryan Fitzgerald and what we've been doing on special teams that has given us a massive advantage, I think, compared to the rest of the league?
Absolutely. First of all, Fitzgerald hit a 57-yard field goal. I don't have to worry about field goals over 45 yards anymore, like we did with Eddie Pinheiro, who, granted, he's making kicks for San Francisco, but he's not making 57-yarders. He made all 3 field goals, right? So he had 3 field goals, 3 extra points, and then the kickoffs, like you're talking about. It's us and the Rams that are doing this, but we're the ones doing it the best. The Panthers lead the league in, I guess, opponent starting field position, and in a good way. The opponents start at the 21-yard line on average, and it's because Tracy Smith, the special teams coordinator, and Ryan Fitzgerald are kicking knuckleballs. They're calling them dirty kicks, to where it's hard to track it in the air, and then because it's a knuckleball, you don't know where it's going to spin when it hits the ground. The Falcons were in hell all day trying to return kicks. I think the only competent one that they got was the very first one when we kicked off to start the game. Other than that, it was bouncing all over the place. They were having to run and backtrack. There should have been a safety on one of them because the guy caught it at like the 2 and then ran backwards. I guess you can call it momentum, but I think it should have been a safety. Ryan Fitzgerald, the kicker, and the special teams unit as a whole have been dominant on kickoffs.
They have. And having a starting field position, like when you look at the rest of the league, like the San Francisco 49ers are one of those teams that are just so far behind the league in terms of analytics and just doing the right thing. And you see it with how Kyle Shanahan manages the game, and that oozes into special teams. So where we talk about the average starting field position for the Carolina Panthers being 21 yards, we're talking about, when we're looking at the San Francisco 49ers, their opponents are starting around like the 33. And like, this is like a mindset that some coaches have, is like, you kick it out of the back of the end zone. It's just like, that's the safer thing to do. You don't allow a return, but it's like, that's like 10 yards right there. Like that's huge. Like
that is an entire set of downs.
Yeah, 33.8. That's the starting field position. So very close to the 35-yard line. And it's just like, that's not worth it anymore. It used to be worth it when you had a kicker that could boom out of the back of the end zone and they came out to the 20 or the 25-yard line. But that's not the case anymore. The rules have completely changed. And that's where having this leg up from an analytic standpoint and being able to make it hard on the return team to even get anything positive is a huge advantage compared to the rest of the league, and gives us a head start for the defense.
If you think about it in terms of like space on the field, right? 10 yards is obviously 10% of the field, but going from the 33 to, let's say, the opponent 35, so where you can attempt a 52-yard field goal, that's so much easier when you're starting on your own 35. And now if you're doing it on your own 21, that's another set of downs you have to convert, which means they're going to be more likely to punt or more likely to take long field goals if they can't sustain long drives. And we saw that in the very first drive, well, in all the drives, quite frankly, in the game against the Falcons. The only other field goal attempt they got was on the muff punt. So other than that first drive, they really didn't have anything going. And you have to give credit to Fitzgerald, the kicker, Tracy Smith, the coordinator, and the coverage team as a whole, because I think we're covering kicks very well. That was our big issue last year, is that we couldn't cover kicks. I think that's a huge improvement this year. And it's a weapon against other teams, because we think about offense and defense, but special teams plays a part in every single game.
It does. And if you're able to find these yards throughout the game through various mechanisms like this, you're going to give yourself a leg up. That's what makes going for it on fourth and short so beneficial. It gives you an extra possession. And that's kind of like the mentality there of like, hey, you want to be able to go out and win this game. Give yourself every opportunity to do so. And so when we talk about the New England Patriots, one of the things, and you look at like analytics stats that correlates with wins the most, especially from quarterback play, is the ability to just simply mitigate turnovers. Don't make the mistakes. And the Patriots had every opportunity to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers at home last week, and they didn't. They had 5 turnovers. They were loose and lazy with the ball, which, I mean, it's funny, Mike Vrabel's your head coach. You would not expect that from a guy like him, but that has been kind of what the New England Patriots have been so far through 3 weeks. If they can't stop those turnovers and the Panthers defense that has been opportunistic is able to capitalize, we're going to put ourselves in the driver's seat once again. But we've also seen through the first 2 weeks, Bryce Young's turnovers have completely handicapped this team and in essence just put us on the sideline from even competing. So if we want to stay in this, if the Patriots want to stay in this, it seems like the best course of action is just playing clean football. Do you see that in the cards for the Carolina Panthers, or their matchups with the Patriots defense that have you concerned?
I think it's certainly in the cards. This week, 0 turnovers. Well, the one on the muff punt, but from the offense, we had no turnovers. Maybe Leggett not being out there contributes to that. Maybe Austin Corbett being out there doesn't contribute or contributes to no turnovers. But the Patriots defense is unique through 3 weeks in the fact that they're very good against the run. And I know we like to try to establish the run, but on scripted drives and the first few drives of the game, we pass a lot. And I think that's the opportunity for our offense to get going, is getting, if T-Mac plays, getting him involved, getting the other receivers involved, and opening up the defense for the run game to work, because you can't just do John Fox plays, or not plays, but the John Fox method, run, 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 punt. That's not going to work against this Patriots team in particular. So I think the opportunity is there if we can stretch the field with the passing game. And then as far as the turnover battle goes, I believe the Patriots have a turnover in every game so far. Obviously, the Panthers didn't turn it over on offense last game, but their defense is also opportunistic. They picked off Rodgers. They picked off Geno in the first game. Who did they play week two? I'm trying to remember.
It was the Patriots.
Yeah, the Dolphins. They certainly picked off Tua at the end there and during the game. So they're very opportunistic defense as well. But I think there is room for explosive plays with the receivers. So that like that's what I would lean into first is getting the receivers involved early, trying to open up the running game.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see how their linebackers are going to hold up in coverage. They brought in Robert Spillane from Las Vegas. And if the Panthers fans remember, that was one of our bigger wins last year, was playing against the Raiders. And obviously one player doesn't make or break an entire unit, but it's just one of those things. Like,
want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hey, is JT Sanders, Chuba Hubbard going to have opportunistic looks against some of these linebackers that we don't have to necessarily force the ball so far downfield? And I think that's what's going to keep everything in front of us from an offensive game plan perspective, because that whole tunnel vision that we saw at the end of the Cardinals game is the last thing I want in this game, is us to go down in a 10-0 hole and then us to try to force stuff downfield when just take what the defense gives you. Keep like everything in front of you and stay in the game that way, because if you're not able to stay ahead of the chains and you get into these third and long situations, it's going to be a very long day, because the Patriots do have playmakers on this defense. There is a game script where this is a very, very low scoring game, and it's just a matter of who makes the fewest mistakes.
You brought up the linebackers, and I'm glad you did. Their linebacking group might be the only group worse than ours. And I say that with Trevon Wallace improving over the last 2 weeks. Roseboom still hasn't been the best. He was better this game. I digress. But their linebacking core is terrible. So I think it is. Middle of the field is where we should take advantage of. You talked about their playmakers. Christian Gonzalez hasn't played yet this year. I think they're trying to have him on track to play this week. Same hamstring issue he's had his entire career. He was supposed to play last week, but they shut him down before the game. So if he plays, that's another wrinkle in this defense, because he's a very good corner. I would say top 15 corner probably with Gonzalez. T-Mac was covered pretty well by guys like Robert Alford in that game. Well, I say covered well. He pass interfered with him like every play, but he didn't get the flags thrown on the most part. So he was able to shut T-Mac down for a large part. I think, like you're saying, we can't tunnel vision. Even though T-Mac should be getting a lot of targets, we have to be able to distribute. And I think that with those linebackers being bad, guys like Tommy Tremble, Mitchell Evans, because JT Sanders is going to miss this one, and some of the running backs like Dowdle out of the backfield, I think that's a key opportunity to get this passing game opened.
Yeah, and that's where you have to target, because if Christian Gonzalez plays this game, I expect him to shut down T-Mac. Their version of Christian Gonzalez and Carlton Davis is very similar to the setup that we have with J.C. Horn and Mike Jackson. Like, when those guys are healthy, the idea is that you have a big physical corner that could take away a Marvin Harrison, a Tetero McMillan, and then you have a true number one in Christian Gonzalez that could cover anybody. And so at that point, you feel pretty confident wherever T-Mac is on the field. And at that point, that's where the tertiary weapons have to come in and they have to ball out. So you talked about Rico Dowdle. I'd like to see some Trevor Etienne. He, to me, has shown the most explosion that I've seen on the field yet. We haven't, I think, really seen Jimmy Horn yet, and it'd be nice to see him kind of worked in. Was he inactive the first 3 weeks? Has he been active? Yeah. That's the one thing.
Well, he's because they value like blocking from the receivers, and he's a smaller guy, so he can't really block and isn't a value on special teams yet. He might start returning punts after that ETN thing, but guys like Tremaine, the guy that they waivered, De'Lavon Campbell, there's like 6'4", 215-pound guys that can cover on special teams, and that's why Horn's been inactive. Now, he might play this week. Renfro, I think, is another one over the middle. He was hardly involved in this last game, but the announcer was, they were talking about Renfro, talking about his situation. And then right on cue, he catches like a little dig on second down and takes it for 9 yards up the middle. So I think he could be involved as well.
Yeah. Whatever works in terms of matchups. And like you said, working across the middle, if they're targeting kind of like what we said, like, hey, the running backs, we're going to make sure they're accounted for, then that's where Renfro is able to kind of sit down in between the zone or find pretty much an opening in the man coverage look and being able to present himself to Bryce Young in a favorable matchup. So there are going to be opportunities. Again, it's about finding ways to capitalize on it and not taking either bad sacks, throwing interceptions, fumbling the football. Those are the things that I think are going to put the Panthers in a position to win the football game. If they aren't able to minimize the mistakes, I think it's going to be very hard for us to win on Foxborough on the road. Bryce Young does not have a good record on the road. I want that to change this year, but that's not something that we've seen so far. And I think that would be a great step to take after a really solid victory at home.
Absolutely. You talk about the quarterback. We haven't even mentioned Drake May yet, the Patriots quarterback. From all accounts, he's top 10 in pretty much everything this year. EPA, yards. I don't think he's there in touchdowns yet. Success rate when he's passing, the Pats are good, but it's the mistakes, right? Everybody around him isn't super, super good. They keep playing Ramondre Stevenson for some reason, who just loves to fumble. So I hope he plays in this game. But it's going to be making Drake May make mistakes. That's a, it's a tough one to say, but if you can get him making mistakes, throwing interceptions, taking away the run game by forcing guys like Stevenson to play, I think that's where the win condition is, because Drake May is going to be far and away the best QB that we faced to this point this year. Trevor Lawrence has been terrible, largely. He's dealt with some drops, but he hasn't been good. Kyler Murray, I think, is improved from last year, but still not an elite QB. And then Penix is maybe the worst QB in the league. So, well, J.J. McCarthy, but he's not playing right now. Like, Penix has been that bad. So this is going to be a different level of QB that the Panthers are going to face. But if we can limit the passing game and keep everything kind of in front of us, I think the win's there. This Patriots team is not a good roster still. I would say there's still probably a bottom 3 to 4 roster. Granted, we're probably bottom 8 or something, but the opportunity is there.
I think the opportunities are going to come, like you said, Ramondre Stevenson, Travion Henderson, their matchups with the linebackers, both in the run and the pass game. And are they able to maximize those? And I think if they are, it gives the Patriots a shot to keep themselves ahead of the chains. But I really think the difference maker is, and we saw this against Arizona, is one of the backbreaking plays when we were trying to get in back into the game. And obviously Kyler threw an interception a few plays later, but was his big scramble. And that is something that Drake May is really good at, is scrambling and his ability to create plays once he's outside of the pocket. And so that is something I am going to be keying in on. Is he able to find guys that Nick Scott and Roseboom are supposed to be covering? Because those guys have been out of position the entire year. And I don't think Drake May is somebody who's going to shy away from throwing across the middle or throw inaccurately across the middle like Michael Penix did. So those opportunities are going to be there. And I think it's just a matter of, can we force the Patriots to go 10 plays to go score a touchdown? And it's not that they're finding explosive plays on the field, because if they're able to find explosives, that's where we could find ourselves in a hole very early on, because that is something that the Panthers have struggled to stop over the past year or so. And I'd like to see that kind of cleaned up from Evro, is just ability to take that away from an offense.
I will say the explosive plays we've allowed so far, I can think of, well, two come to mind, the Kyler scramble, the ETN run. There were none in this last game.
That was the big thing with the Falcons
and
we did.
The point I'm trying to get to here is I don't think the Patriots have explosive players outside of a guy like Travion Henderson, who's gotten very little run so far. Yeah. Maybe one of their receivers finally breaks through, like Who was Kyle Williams, the guy who fell down backwards and lost in the game? Was that him or Pop Douglas?
I think it might have been Pop Douglas, I think he also scored a touchdown earlier in the game. Yeah. No, maybe it was Keyshawn Booty that scored. I don't know. I'm not as familiar with New England Patriots, like some of their games. Haven't gone back and watched them too in depth.
Yeah, my point being is that they don't have the explosive players necessarily. Now, granted, anybody, NFL players are all athletes, right? Anybody can get you for 20 yards, but I don't think they have the consistent threat like a guy like Kyler provides or ETN provides. May's a good scrambler. He's not a fast scrambler. Like he's like Josh Allen's not a fast scrambler, so to speak. He's just massive and hard to take down, right? So I think that keeping everything in front and limiting the explosive play is the key. I think you will get the opportunity to take an interception out of the air. We have interceptions in all three games so far, so hopefully we can continue that trend. And if Ramondre Stevenson is carrying the ball, he will put it on the turf. So there will be opportunities there. It's just about playing our own clean game. And like you're saying, improve on the road, right? We want to see road wins, especially the Patriots, a team that we're either 4-3 or 4-4 against in our career or in the Panthers' history. It's a team that we've played very evenly outside of the Super Bowl, unfortunately. So I'd like to see us continue to get our lick back for that game, 22 years ago now. So hopefully the Panthers can pull off the win.
I think the last time we were in Foxborough, we won.
That was the field goal.
Was that back in 2017?
Yep.
Yeah.
That was the game-winning field goal.
Last time we played, they were in Charlotte, and I think Mac Jones was their quarterback, and Sam Darnold was ours, and that was a nightmare. You know?
That was the Mac Jones ankle twist on Brian Burns' game.
Mm-hmm. So I a lot of lore there, but yes, it would be nice that the next time being back in Foxborough, we're able to pull off the dub. Ready to hop in perfect takes. Anything spicy for this week's matchup between the Panthers and the Patriots?
Well, I have it written. I forgot to erase it from last week's sheet that T-Mac gets his first touchdown of his career. And that one's talking to me again, but I really don't want to repeat it. So I think my take is going to be that the Panthers will have two more takeaways in this game. Gets two takeaways. This is a team outside of the Panthers in the first 2 weeks gave the ball away a ton as well. But this Patriots team just loves to do it for some reason. A lot of young players, right? So there's still some growing pains in terms of taking care of the ball. But their biggest threat or contributor, Ramondre Stevenson, is the vested veteran there. And as long as they continue to not change things up, have Stevenson throw the ball, have Drake May take the risky throws, stuff like that, I think the defense is opportunistic enough to be able to take a couple of them away. So I think the Panthers defense gets two takeaways in this game.
Defense gets two takeaways. I like that one.
I might say two in general, like a muff punt too. We're going to throw that in there. Two takeaways in general.
I will say tonight's game, and I know this is completely off topic, but like the Cardinals and the Seahawks have forced a lot of turnovers. They've gotten a couple defensive scores. It feels like one side's going to get a defensive or special teams touchdown. But in regards to
speaking of tonight's game, the Cardinals are wearing those really cool jerseys. It's the first rivalry game. So we're going to see those tonight.
Have you seen their the field design?
Yes,
how it's retro.
It looks awesome. Man. Like it's the Arizona state flag, I believe, or it's Arizona, like the sunset with the beams on the horizon. It looks awesome.
Yeah, I think they used to incorporate in their like old like jersey design. So like the homage there, and then obviously, yeah, the cool new jerseys. Those will be fun to check out tonight. But in regards to the Panthers and Patriots game, we talked about Ramondre Stevenson. We talked about Travion Henderson. We mentioned Chuba Hubbard and Rico Dowdle. As much as those guys should be fed throughout this game, I think it's the quarterbacks who are going to be top two like rushers on their respective teams. I don't know if Chuba Hubbard, Ramondre Stevenson, they might be the leading rusher on their team, but because of Drake May and Bryce Young's ability to create out of structure, especially when we're looking at scrambles, I think they're going to be key contributors this game. So I think they both finish top two rushers on their team.
So just so I'm following, Drake May and Bryce Young, both, we're going by yards or?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, like, I don't know. I haven't looked at necessarily the breakdown in previous games, but, like, if you're going to look at the box score, that Bryce Young has to be the second leading rusher for the Panthers at a minimum.
I got you. I understand.
And then for Drake May, he's got to be the second leading rusher. So, again, we've talked about Ramondre Stevenson, Travion Henderson, two guys that should be getting the ball, that should honestly probably have more rushing yards. But the Panthers' run defense is pretty solid. It has stood up and been what it's worth the past couple weeks. And then you look at the Patriots, they're able to do the same thing. So that's where I think the quarterbacks have to create with their legs in this game.
Turk Wharton also practicing this week, so he could be back. And he was a very huge factor in that week one run defense in the first quarter, then he got hurt. So Bryce Young and Drake May, both top two rushers on their respective teams. And I say that the Panthers will get two takeaways. I'm not saying anything about giveaways. I'm sure we'll have one or two of those as well. Hopefully not. But I think that's going to do it. Do you want to predict the winner of this game, or are you going to keep that under wraps? I'm going to say it's like Carolina 17-14. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game with littered with turnovers. But in the end, maybe Fitzgerald repeats the Gonneau game-winning field goal, and we get the win.
I just think it's going to come down to whoever commits the fewest turnovers. I don't know who that is. Like that could be anybody because of like Bryce Young's fumble issues. You talked about like the Patriots miscues. Like any number of things can happen on game day. And I think it just comes down to who makes the fewest mistakes. And we don't know who that's going to be right now. So that's where I'm going to leave it as. Obviously, I'll pick a side at some point, but I do agree that it will be a low scoring game.
Fair enough. Hopefully one of your buddies can get you the ticket to go up to Gillette Stadium so we can get the win. But if that doesn't happen, everybody can tune in wherever it's probably Fox or CBS. Tune in, watch the game, find us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your content. We'll be back next week to hopefully talk about a Panthers win. And who do we play next? The Miami Dolphins, I believe, at home. So we're back to talk about that. But until then, keep pounding.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.